enjoyed that song very, very much. If you would, in your Bibles, turn to Ephesians tonight in chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Getting close here. In the next 4, 5, 6 weeks, we'll finish up the book of Ephesians. And again, Ephesians was written for the purpose of encouragement and for admonition to the church there at Ephesus, to remind the believers of the blessings that we have in Christ and that we are in Christ. That's the key phrase, key word in the book of Ephesians. And being in Christ, we have tools in which God has given us, Christ has given us, to live the Christian life as He intended for us to live. We covered in the first 3 chapters what those tools are, that we are in Christ, that we are part of His inheritance, that we are been engrafted, that we are part of the family of God, and He has given us power and all the things that we need to live out the Christian life. In chapters 4, 5, and 6, we learn the practical part. In other words, now that you know you have the tools to live the Christian life, now walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you've been called. Walk worthy. Walk as children of the light. Walk circumspectly. And be filled with the Spirit. And these are all challenges. So here in the latter part of chapter 6, or the middle part of chapter 6, Paul gives again a admonition. He gives a charge, and basically gives a charge as he would give a charge to soldiers. And we are soldiers. We are a part of a fight. When you accepted Christ as your Savior, you entered a warfare. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12 says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life." 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3 through 4 says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a," remember the verse? "Soldier." We are soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 says, "We have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I have fought a good fight." We're in a warfare. We're in a battle tonight as Christians. And Paul, simply stating here, says, hey, listen, put on the whole armor of God. You're in a battle. Get ready for the battle. Get ready for the battle. It's your choice to take up the armor and put it on. Let's look here in chapter 6 and verse 10. "Finally, my brethren," so again, he's kind of wrapping up the book here, "be strong in the Lord," not in yourself, but in the Lord and the power of His might. "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore," in light of what we just said, "wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Let's pray. Lord, we again come to You thanking You for what You've done for us. Thank You for the good morning we had in church this morning. We pray, Lord, as we look throughout this particular passage, You would help us to understand that we are in a battle, to remind us that we're in a battle, and help us, Lord, to again to take that, make the decision to put on the whole armor of God. In Jesus' name, amen. We are given again a charge here that we are in a battle. The true believer who is Spirit-filled is in a spiritual war. A spiritual war. We're not up against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. We're in a battle. And what kind of battle is it? Let me give you the 3 F's again. And you ought to have it written somewhere. But there, we're in a battle. Number one, we're in a battle against the world. The world. The world is out. Now we're not talking about the ball of clay. We're talking about the world system, and the world system out there is many times is enticing, and you can get caught up in the world system and the world's view of what things should be. In other words, for instance, your job or your home or your car or your bank account, those various things that God has given you. You can begin to see them as your own, and you begin to want more and want this and that and keep up with the Joneses. We can look at the world system and the enticements of the world, and we can get caught up in that. The Bible says against the world we use faith, because 1 John says faith overcometh the world. Faith. Use faith. How do we get faith? We get faith by the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Amen? And then we have, not only do we have the world out there enticing, but we have the flesh, which is just us. Have you ever seen that little cartoon? I remember one of the first things I received in Bible college was a little cartoon. And in the cartoon was a little guy out going to war, and he says, "We have met the enemy, and the enemy is us." The enemy's us. And many times we'll blame this or that or the world or Satan on things we've done and as an excuse. But listen, many times it's just us. It's our old flesh. It's our selfish nature craving this or craving that and wanting this and wanting that. And the Bible says against the flesh we use what? Flight. Flight. Against the world we use faith. Against the flesh we use flight. Flee also youthful lust. Teenagers, when you get in a situation, as I've said many times, where you shouldn't be, get out of there. Call mom or daddy. Call a friend. Don't put yourself in a position. Romans says make no provision for the flesh. Right? If you're trying to quit drinking, don't keep beer in the refrigerator. Amen. Amen. It's just simple as that. And I won't say anything else funny. Let's go on. And then not only do we have the world, we have the flesh, but we have Satan. And let me again remind you, and you know this. Listen, it's just us here tonight. It's us. Satan is real. Man, I've seen him work not only in my own life, but in ministry and other places. I've seen his ugly head rise many times. And boy, he is out to destroy us. He's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He hates you. He hates your family. He hates your children. He hates your church. And he'll do anything he can to disrupt your life, to discourage you, and to help you fall into sin. And against Satan, we use fight. Fight. Put on the whole armor of God. Get the sword of the Spirit and go slay the dragon. Amen? Fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Put on the whole armor of God. And go out. And we know that Jesus Christ used the Word of God when He defeated Satan there, when He was tempted of Satan in the wilderness after fasting 40 days. He used the Word of God. Use the Word of God. Quote the Scriptures. When you know, and even if you don't know, when you are enticed to do something you shouldn't do, quote a Scripture. Quote a Scripture. Get thee behind me, Satan. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace should abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And say, Satan, I'm not going to do it. Get thee behind me. Amen? Amen. Fight the good fight of faith. So we have the world, we have the flesh, and we have Satan. We have our three enemies. And the Bible describes these for us. This is our intelligence book. It tells us what the enemy is. You know what the enemy is. I know what the enemy is. Now, get ready for it. Get ready for it. Prepare for the fight, for the battle. Notice he says here in this verse, he says, finally, my brethren. Who's he speaking to? Christians. Speaking to Christians here in the church at Ephesus. Speaking to Christians. He's speaking to us tonight. Finally, my brethren, put on, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. He's speaking to us. Be strong in the Lord's power. Be strong in the Lord's strength, in His power, in His might. Be strong. That speaks of power, might, and strength. Being strong means they must possess strength. They must have strength. Possess strength. Be strong in whose power? My power? This is so hard for us to get. And I've preached on it. In fact, these three verses I preached on 3 months ago, and they happened to come in to us again by way of studying the book of Ephesians verse by verse. But let me remind you that you cannot do it. I cannot live the Christian life. I'm a failure. I'm a failure if I do it on my own. I can't do it. When we are weak, He is strong, right? Many times, the rug is pulled out from underneath us to show us our weakness. And that we need Him. And we need to depend upon Him. And when trials and tribulations and things come into our life, I absolutely still believe the first thing you ought to look at is yourself. Is this trial or this thing coming to my life because there's something that God wants to get a hold of me about? Oh, be introspective, but look inside first. It may not be that. Maybe you're clean as a whistle. Maybe you can say like Job, you know, I don't know of anything in my life that's causing this to happen. And maybe God is doing it for the glory of God in your life, maybe for the testimony to somebody else. I mean, there's other reasons other than just clutter in your life, sin in your life. But that ought to be the first thing you address when something comes up. Lord, is it me? Me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. We always like to look to the other person, right? This morning when Brother Tim said, let's sing a cappella so we can hear the person next to us. Some of y'all looked around and went, I don't want to hear the person next to us. I saw your voices. I saw you look at your wife and go, I don't want to listen. It's not. I thought it was humorous this morning from looking from up here down there. But it's not about your neighbor. It's not about your spouse. It's not about your kids in this instance. It's about you. Are you right before the Lord? Are you working in the power of God's might, in the power of His strength? The Lord's power. My brethren, Christians, be strong in the Lord, not your own power, in the power of His might. The Lord's power. He is sovereign. That means He's above all. He has unlimited power and dominion over all. All you got to do is tap into the power source through prayer. The Lord's might. Might. That word might means strength, force, ability. The ability to use His strength and force wisely, that is to perfection, to completeness. In other words, that you depend solely upon Him in this battle that you're facing in your Christian life. This warfare, it's not your strength and your sword, it's His sword and His strength as we go into battle. Our strength is in the Lord. It's in our relationship with Him. Luke 1:37 says, for with God, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. Me and God make a majority. Amen? Amen. Good English or not. Look with me in verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Again, we are in a fight. We're in a battle. We're in a battle. The battle is raging tonight. Satan is absolutely wants to destroy you. And so Paul says, put on the whole armor of God. As we think about Paul being chained to a Roman soldier, no doubt as he looked at that Roman soldier, the Holy Spirit inspired him and came up with a illustration for us to illustrate the Christian life, and that is a battle. A battle, a Roman soldier. Maybe possibly he was referring to Joshua in the Old Testament. When Joshua saw the Lord, he saw a soldier in front of him there. And whatever the case may be, he vividly illustrates for us that we as Christians are in a battle. In other words, we are to put on the whole armor of God. God does not leave us defenseless in the battle. Again, we think about armor. We think about armor is used not only for defense, but for attack. I don't think we as Christians have to lay back and let the world and everybody else run over us. Amen? We're to go to battle with that sword. We're to go to battle, and we have those defenses, the breastplate of righteousness and so forth. But we have to put them on. We have to put them on. Well, Brother Crawford, do you mean figuratively? I mean spiritually. You go to the Word of God and you put them on. You get up in the morning, first thing, before you go to work, and or maybe when you get to your work, however it works for you, and you read some portions of Scripture. You get in the Word of God. You put on the armor of God. You spend time with your children and so forth. Put on the whole armor of God that you'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He is the enemy. Let me tell you this evening that people are not your enemy. Again, the devil will use anybody. But remember, they're not the enemy. The devil is. He is our enemy. And he has wiles. That means that word wiles means it means the artful method of persuasion. It means a trick using guile, deceiving, trickery, low cunning, so as to deceive or snare. It means a trick or strategism, practice for ensnaring or deception, a sly, insidious artifice. Deceit, craftiness, trickery, methods and strategies. In other words, Satan's just not out there haphazardly around going, ooh, I'm gonna tempt this person today, boink, and this person today, boink. And he's not, no, no. Y'all like that? That was good, wasn't it? Let me do it better. He ain't out there with his little pitchfork and his little tail going around with his pitchfork poking certain people and poking this person and poking that. No, he has a strategy. He has the wiles of the devil. He has a plan. And he works the plan. He worked the plan. He worked the plan on you. He worked the plan on me. One of his biggest ones is discouragement. But you think about that. He's deceitful. He's crafty. He's tricky. And he'll do anything he can. He knows where we are vulnerable. He knows your weak spot. Right? Goliath had a weak spot. Every soldier has a weak spot. The devil knows yours. The devil knows mine. It may be discouragement. It may be frustration. It may be confusion. It may be moral failures. It may be doctrinal errors. It may be a host of things. But whatever it is, he knows it, and that's where he's going to attack you. That's where he's going to attack you. Satan will present something to entice you. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Let me remind you that Eve was deceived, but Adam was disobedient. Hello? Eve was deceived, Adam was disobedient, and Satan is still working around the clock to see that you are one or the other. Whether he can deceive you or just flat out get you to disobey God. We are under attack. Again, the devil is absolutely our enemy. If we are to be victors, we must put on the whole armor of God because he is very tricky. Look there in verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I again remind you that our enemy is not people. Our enemy is not people. It's not human. It's not physical. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Our warfare is absolutely spiritual. That word, again, we think of wrestling. We think of a contest between two in which each endeavors to throw the other. A struggle. Satan's trying to body slam you. He's trying to body slam you. I know I told the story, I'll tell it again. Several years ago, before my papa and grandma died, me and my brother were wrestling in the living room, Pier and Beam House. You know, built 30 years ago. And we were wrestling, my papa was sitting there in the chair, and we were wrestling around, and all of a sudden, my brother, who's smaller than me, or used to be, that guy's getting fat now. Maybe he'll watch it on the video. Anyway, we were wrestling around, and I don't know how I got in the position, but all of a sudden I had him up above my head. We were doing the pretzel thing, coming around, and anyway, I had him right up here, his face here, his legs here. I mean, I had him. And what do you think I did? To have mercy? My brother's 4 years older than me. He used to beat me senseless when I was a kid, honestly. Okay? I owed him. Revenge is sweet. No, that's totally opposite of what the Bible teaches. But we were having fun. We were playing. Neither one of us were mad. And you know that because when I looked at his face, he smiled. And so did I. Bam! And it shook the whole house. It was awesome. Don't try this at home. Pier and Beam House, not a cement floor. Okay, careful. And man, he came down. And again, y'all know, y'all have heard my stories in my family. We like to wrestle as kids. My kids, we still wrestle. In fact, most of you have seen my boys hit me here in the building. You know, they just whack me when I'm not looking. John Reed does too. I don't know, acts like he's one of my boys or something. Whacks me. But, wrestling. One's trying to get the other, trying to throw the other. Satan, we are in a wrestling match. And he is trying to body slam you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to get you down. He wants to get you discouraged. He wants to, you know what? If he knows money's your issue, then he'll use money, and he'll tempt you with money, or he'll get you to use your money wrong. Hello? And he'll keep at it. And if it bothers you, if it flusters you, you know what he'll do? He'll just keep at it. Man, if he knows it's getting under your skin, he'll keep at it. If he knows that's your weak spot, he'll keep at it. Right? You've got to come to a place where you can surrender that to the Lord and say, Lord, I can't. This is my area of weakness. Lord, I'm laying it at your feet. You handle it. Lord, you control it. You take care of it. And go home with a smile on your face, no longer flustered. You know what I believe? Satan might just leave you alone for a season. Right? He gets defeated. He left the Lord for a season. Doesn't mean he won't come back. But boy, if you can get victory in your life, you know, Satan might just have, you know, let up. Well, we need some victories in our life, don't we? And listen, you're only going to experience victory by way of the power of the Lord, His might. Understanding that your enemy is out to destroy you, that he's very cunning and very crafty, and he'll try every trick in the book to get you discouraged and down. Remember that your neighbor is not your enemy. Your fellow church member is not your enemy. Right? Well, Satan will get you distracted. He'll get you wrapped up in a person. He'll have you draw a bullseye around somebody instead of remembering that he is the enemy. In other words, he may use somebody to get under your skin, but they're not the enemy. Satan is. Amen? We're to love our brethren. In fact, the Bible says we're to love our enemies. Boy, you can't love your enemies if you put a bullseye on them. Amen? Amen. Is that good preaching? That's good right there. I'm not saying it's good preaching. That's good Bible. Man, we love them. And don't allow Satan. Again, our wrestling match, our enemy, is not physical. It's not human. It is spiritual. And Satan, we are absolutely in a struggle with him. This is not a myth. This is not a fairy tale. It is absolutely real. And just as I said this morning, I absolutely believe the Lord's returning. And I absolutely believe the devil's real. Not only do I know it from Scripture, but I have experienced it in my life. Satan's attack. Only way to explain some of the things that have happened in my life. Some of it's been me, no doubt. A lot of it's been me. But some of it's been old Satan. Satan is real. He's not a myth. We think of Daniel chapter 10, where the Bible says Daniel's prayers were hindered for 3 weeks. For 3 weeks, Daniel's prayers were hindered by a demon. It says it very clearly. You can go read it in your own time. It's kind of one of those things. You don't see germs, but you see their effects. And we don't see those spiritual principalities and so forth, but we see the effects of them, don't we? Look at the world around you. 1 Peter describes Satan as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I don't know what issue you may be facing tonight, what struggle you may be facing, but remember, Satan's trying to stir up the mess. And whether it's marital problems or kid problems, some odd against a brother or neighbor or whatever it may be, remember, Satan's got devices and he's using them. Remember, you're in a warfare. Don't allow him to get victory in your life. Get you discouraged and frustrated. Amen? Amen. This last verse here, verse 13, says, wherefore, now that you understand we're in a battle and put on the whole armor of God, he says, wherefore now take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Again, wherefore. Anytime you see the word wherefore or the word therefore, always stop and see what it's there for. Get the context. We understand the context now. Amen? We're in a battle. Put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. Note the emphasis of putting on the armor. It said it twice. Right? Verse 11, now in verse 13. Anytime the Bible says something twice, you ought to take heed. Again, it is a choice that you make. Isn't it amazing how in my life there are some things that are hard but that are easy for me to do? Let's see if I can think of one. I enjoy things. I like to work and get out in the yard and work and mow and do things. My kids do some of it. Actually, they do most of it. But I enjoy getting out in the yard, sweating. I enjoy working out in the yard. That's the kind of work I've done most of my life. I like going on the farm and doing stuff and working with my dad. And some of those things that are physically taxing, I actually enjoy. It's funny how some of those things are hard, and we do them without even thinking. But something as easy as reading our Bible is so hard. You know it? Something as easy as praying is so hard. So many of the things interfere and get in the way. Again, it's our choice to to take up and put on the whole armor of God. When should we put on the armor? Today. Wherefore, taking you the whole armor of God, that you be able to stand in the evil day. That's any day. That could be today. I've preached this verse to you twice in the past. Again, 3 months ago, and then 4 or 5 years ago. I'll never forget. Years ago, I was at a conference, and Brother Jack Hiles was preaching. And he preached on this verse, and he alluded to and spoke on the evil day. And that no person knows when that evil day will come. That you may be able to stand in the evil day. Notice he didn't say, he makes it different than a normal day. Right? No one knows when the evil day is going to come. By that I mean, that special time in which the devil really comes and attacks us. It's that unusual trial, that unusual temptation. It's the loss of a job. It's a death in the family. It's a temptation to adultery or fornication or whatever it may be, to fall back into some unseemly sin. If we are to stand in the day, we must stand in every day because we don't know when that day is coming. Am I making sense? The evil day may be today. It may be tomorrow. We should put on the whole armor of God every day because we don't know that day when it's going to come. You don't know the day when you may be faced with a test about cancer. You don't know when you may be faced with a day concerning a loss of a child or whatever it may be in your life. So prepare every day because that might be the evil day in our life and in your life. Our biggest trial may come today. By the way, our biggest trials genuinely come when we are at our weakest spiritually because the devil knows. The devil knows. The devil knows when we haven't read the book. The devil knows when we haven't been praying. The devil knows when we are not as close to in our fellowship with our Lord as we should be. And he'll use that day to bring the evil day into our life. He's not going to come when you're spiritually up, way up here. He's going to come when your guard is down. When you fail to put on the whole armor of God. When you fail to make that choice. When I fail to make that choice. Again, the devil knows when you are weak. We better pray up. As the old preacher said, we're going to keep our tank full. Amen? Don't you just hate it when you get down to the end of the tank in your vehicle? Don't you just hate it? I hate filling up with gas. I do. They need to have some kind of thing where, you know, it automatically does it now. I mean, they got all sorts of robots and things. They ought to be able to do that now, shouldn't they? Right? I mean, you know, I'll stack wood before I fill up a dark car with gas. And so, but when we get down low on spiritually in our tank, that's when the devil's going to attack. We need to be ready. Take a stand. Take a stand. Stand in the evil day. Don't give place to the devil. The Bible says don't give place. Don't give way to the flesh. Don't give way to the devil. Don't give way to the world. Stand. We're in a spiritual battle tonight. We're in a spiritual battle. And then it says, when we've done all, we've done everything, stand. Let's all stand. We'll have a verse invitation.